This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Good Life. Hey, if you just joined us, well, don't forget, anytime you miss a segment or you miss the whole show, shame on you. You can go to goodlifeguy.com, follow the links, or you can go direct to knssradio.com. Left-hand upper side, audio, page a little bit down, find The Good Life. And there, listed by date and segment number, are the four segments that make up a typical Good Life. On the program with you today is Baker Extraordinaire, my words, Daniel Leader. Daniel put together one of his many books here, well, at least the second book. Anyway, Living Bread, Tradition and Innovation in Artisan Bread Making. Dan, you got to give some shout out to the photographer and to your co-writer. Tell me a little bit about them.
Well, Lauren Chapman and I have been writing books together for 12 years. This is our fourth book. And we just have this great partnership. She's actually married to Jack Bishop from America's Test Kitchen, and she's a great writer, and she went to cooking school, and we just had a great relationship for many, many years. And Jörg Lehmann, the photographer, is just a magical soul. I met him through another baking friend in Paris about 5 years ago. We looked at each other. He had been wanting to photograph a book about farmers, millers, and bakers. I had been wanting to write a book about farmers, millers, and bakers. And we met at a restaurant called Boissonnier in the Rue de Seine. And my life has been different since. I mean, he's just we can be in the same place at the same time, looking at the same thing. And he sees something that I just don't see, and he takes these photographs that are just stunningly rich. And as he says, he tries to bring emotion into every photograph. So when you look at the photos in the book, you feel something, even if it's just a loaf of bread.
Well, and then I'll bet there's some little small part of that professional photographer that thought, if I film this stuff with Dan, I get to eat some of this bread.
I would agree. I think he would. As a matter of fact, I just left Jörg about 27 minutes ago. We were signing books together at Union Square, and he's in a cab on the way to Newark Airport right now, where he's going back to Berlin, where he lives.
Oh wow! How cool. Okay, so we talked a little bit about wheat. Certainly not enough. We could have making.
Well, I just want to say one thing. I want to say one other thing about wheat that's very interesting. So one of the schools that I interviewed about the changing landscape of wheat and the changing varietals of wheat that are coming to the is at the Kansas Wheat Innovation Center. And they're doing amazing research there, going into seed banks, bringing out heritage varieties of wheat that haven't been grown for 50 or 100 years, testing them, improving them, and getting them into the hands of farmers to improve the diversity of the wheat varieties that we have available.
And then one final thought, do we have any GMO wheat? I mean, I know we do, but is that?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of GMO wheat. The wheat has not been as affected, say, soybeans or corn. Well, there is a lot of GMO-free wheat in the marketplace, and certainly all of these heritage varieties that are being reintroduced certainly are.
Yeah, I just hope bread making gets even more publicity and becomes even more popular, one, so that I can find great bread. My wife and I, anytime we travel, are always looking for the perfect bread. She steals rolls out of the roll basket if they're good for breakfast the next day.
Well, let me just let me know, bread gets a bad rap, and I just want to like state a few facts, okay?
Go.
And the first is that 20% of global dietary protein is ingested in the terms of wheat across the entire world.
Wow.
Okay, so you know, it's like I hear about wheat being demonized when it's fed civilization for, you know, tens of thousands of years. Okay, and if you follow the way our world has become civilized, wheat has been part of it every step of the way. So I just think that it's very easy to point your finger at wheat and say, oh, we should eat less wheat because of weight problems or health problems. It's simply not true. Science does not validate that.
Good. Let's get into the kitchen. What?
Absolutely.
Who is your target audience for this great book, Living Bread?
I would say that are people, number one, who love good food, okay? Because people who love good food generally love good bread. You know, I don't want to say always. And certainly there's a lot of interest in this country right now and across the world in fermented foods. You read about people making kombucha and beer and wine at home, and people making their own cheese and people making their own vinegar. So certainly anyone who loves, you know, kind of growing something in their house and having it grow from a simple raw food to a complex rich food, this book is for them. People who love to read about history and people who, like, I have all these profiles scattered through the book of really interesting bakers, and I have recipes from the tip of Sicily to the north of Finland. So there's a cross section of recipes from very, you know, like a rye ciabatta in Rome or Roman pizza, to a whole grain rye bread in Finland, to whole wheat sourdoughs in France, to kamut breads. So there's a whole variety of breads in the book. So it's a combination of food lovers and bread lovers. And I want to say that nothing in the book is overly complex. It's all very straightforward. And not to, you know, pat myself in the back, I've written now, this is my fifth book. And each step of the way, I've learned something and how to do it better. And certainly I feel that we have achieved a simplicity in our writing and a clarity in our writing that even a novice baker can follow with great ease.
Well, if you, someone who has never baked bread and they've baked a cake or a pie from a mix or, you know, something simple, they can still do this. But you mentioned the time aspect, and I think it's so cool that looks like all the recipes have the start to finish little hour gauge on the side that gives you a breakdown of what you're going to be doing and how you're...
And when you look at that clock, when you see a clock that says 24 hours to make the bread, you have to understand it's 95% weight and 5% work.
Yep.
Okay, so like you're not in the kitchen for 24 hours. You're spending 8 minutes mixing up a dough, let it sit on your counter for an hour, and put it in the refrigerator for 23. So, you know, time's our friend, and fermentation is our friend. So even though the clock may seem daunting when you first look at it, it's basically, oh, I'm going to mix this in the morning, and I'm going to bake it tomorrow night before dinner, and I'm going to have two moments of 5 minutes of work in between.
Wow. And the reward is significant. What else, if you were talking to someone who is really excited about having their book and they're getting ready to get in the kitchen, what are the basic tools in the kitchen, and what are some basic provisions that would allow you to make a few recipes in the book without finding some specific type of grain?
Very simple. Is a KitchenAid mixer can be helpful with a dough hook, and either a pizza stone and or a Dutch oven, one of those cast iron pots with a lid. That is it. Okay. Wow. And if you don't, have a KitchenAid mixer, you can still make the bread without it. But it is very helpful to have either a pizza stone and or a Dutch oven. But I do want to talk about ingredients for a second.
Yes.
Because in this Amazon world, I write about a farmer growing these very special wheat varietals in Parma. They call it Grano del Miracolo. I'm just using this as an example. It's milled by a mill called Molino Grassi in Parma, Italy. And you can go on Amazon right now and get the Farina de Grano del Miracolo.
Wow.
In your house in 2 days.
So it's like
many of the flowers that I write about are unique and are special. And you can't get them, you know, everywhere, but you can get them to your kitchen very easily. And okay, it's a little bit more expensive. I mean, if you're paying $1.20 a pound for flour versus 70 cents, okay, it's a little bit more expensive. It means your bread's going to cost you 40 cents a loaf instead of 20 cents a loaf. I mean, it's still pennies to make a great loaf of bread.
Wow. What? Okay, so good coverage of ingredients, good coverage of tools. This is not, I don't want to say this wrong, it's not rocket science, but the reality of it is there's a lot of science, and it really is critical that you have the correct balance of ingredients through proper measuring.
Yes.
Is that fair?
So, at one of the things that I did in this book, which I did very differently than the other books, is all of the recipes are written in the metric system, meaning that a recipe is going to call for 500 grams of flour and 2 grams of salt or whatever it's going to be. Okay. And I did this because I've never visited any professional baker who doesn't work in grams. Okay. Because it's a much more precise form of measurement than cups or pounds and ounces. So with the availability of digital scales, I actually should have mentioned a digital scale in the tools. You can get them for $20. You're scaling your ingredients in a different way. So one, you're using very high quality ingredients. Secondly, you're being very precise about the way that you are scaling them. And third, the way that the breads are developed. Some of the breads have sponges, and some of them have sourdoughs, and some of them are just flour, water, salt, yeast, and thyme. But you know, you're not going to mix the dough and have bread in 2 hours.
And therein lies something that a lot of people are going, oh well, I can just go buy bread at the store.
Well, you can't buy bread. You can't buy bread like this.
No.
You know, and listen, even with the increasing popularity of small artisan bakers. Okay, I was in Boston this week. Okay. And we wanted to do a bread evaluation at America's Best Kitchen when I was there. We had to go far and wide in Boston to find the 5 artisan breads, you know, that are in Boston. I mean, you know, a lot of cities. I'm in my hometown of Buffalo. There's one or two, you know, like there just aren't that many craft bakeries around. So being able to do this at home is something that's very special.
Wow. I didn't think of that. I would have thought surely Boston with the Italian Quarter and things like that would have more.
But you know, when we talk about, like, if you go to an Italian Quarter in Boston, they're making kind of like modernized Italian bread that has changed over, you know, in the last 50 years. The craft breads that I talk about and I read, it's a different kind of bread. And so even some cities that may have some old coal-fired ovens, like if you think about the film Moonstruck with that Nicolas Cage, mm-hmm, in front of that wood-fired oven in Brooklyn, the breads that I write about and make, it's a different type of bread than you'll see in even these Italian bakers that we have here.
Wow. You know, I was going to take another break and then have you come back, but I think we're going to extend it. Hold off on the news, folks, but I want to keep talking a little bit about the book. The book has all these different types and such unusual breads that even if we had a good bed store here, you probably wouldn't find half of these. Is it, I just want to make a good baguette or a good French loaf or a good Spanish bread.
There aren't any Spanish breads in the book, but there's a simple white baguette, there's a buckwheat baguette, and there's a multigrain baguette, and there's a sourdough baguette. So you've got your choice.
I look at this and I look at the pictures and reflection. Well, the whole front section.
I want to just jump in here. So when I started doing this book, I said to myself, there's been so many great bread books that have been written in the last 20 years, certainly since Bread Alone came out 26 years ago.
Wow.
I kind of said, well, if I'm going to do something, it has to be something really different. And so when I traveled around Europe and I visited all these amazing bakers, I picked the one or two breads that I didn't feel were well known here. So the 60 recipes in the book are all unique, and not the breads like there's a simple baguette, but I wouldn't call it just a simple baguette, because the recipe was given to me by this guy named Richard Rouen, who's a meilleur ouvrier de France. He's got the highest award you can win in France as a baker. It's his recipe.
Wow.
So even the simple recipes are special.
Well, I can't wait. I'm trying to get my wife flamed up so we can plan some bread baking this week. The pictures, the book, the instruction, and more importantly, the stories. I think you touched on it, Dan, that to learn about the folks who grow the wheat and mill the wheat and make the flour, and pretty cool stuff. Thanks so much for letting me invade your weekend, Daniel Leader.
It is so my pleasure, and if people want to follow my bread journey, my handle on Instagram is Dan Makes Bread.
And the pictures are marvelous. And, of course, Dan's on Facebook. More importantly, go and learn a little bit more. Go to danielleader.com. Just like it sounds, he's a leader in bread making. Dan, thanks so much for your time, my friend.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
We're going to give away a copy of the book right now. You know how to do this. 316-869-1330. Get a copy of Dan Leader's book, Living Bread. 316-869-1330. But don't go away, even if you don't get in on the book win. Coming up next, Dr. Carrie Less joins us from Reno. And she has more knowledge about Bosque Wine Country and Chocolina, the wine of the week. We'll talk about both of those with her right after this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.